You know, we sure do throw around the word holy a lot, don't we? I mean, we sing it in a ton of worship songs, crying, holy, holy, holy. We exclaim it when something amazing happens by saying, holy cow, or when we see something very scary happening, some of us will say, holy something else. And when people are getting married, we say they're being joined in holy matrimony. And even Indiana Jones goes on a search for the Holy Grail. We sure do use this word for a lot of things. But what does it mean? Well, one definition of the word holy is to be set apart. If something is holy, it is different from everything else, in a good way. So it's kept in a special spot, apart from all the other things that aren't holy. So does that mean that God is far from us if he's been set apart from everything else in his holiness? And if God is holy, 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 does that mean that he is very far away from us? No. But what does it mean then for God to be holy if he's not far from us? And most importantly, what does it mean for me to know that God is holy? Those are some of the questions that we're going to be digging into tonight. And we're going to start at the beginning, really, right in the book of Genesis. If you'd like to turn to the beginning of Genesis chapter 3, that's where we're going to start tonight. And we're actually going to jump right into it. Here we go. Starting with verse 1, chapter 3 of the book of Genesis. It says, "The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day, he asked Eve, the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden?' 'Of course we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden,' the woman replied. 'It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die.' 'Well, you won't die,' the serpent replied to the woman. 'God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you'll be like God, knowing both good and evil.' Now, the woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it too. And with this, sin entered the world for the very first man and the very first woman in the very first time on earth," recorded in Genesis here. It continues in chapter 7. "At that moment, their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. Then the Lord God called to the man, Adam, 'Where are you?' He replied, 'I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked.' 'Who told you that you were naked?' the Lord God asked. 'Have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat?' The man replied, 'It was the woman you gave me who gave me the fruit, and I ate it.' Then the Lord God asked the woman, 'What have you done?' 'The serpent deceived me,' she replied. 'That's why I ate it.' Then the Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all animals, domestic and wild. You will crawl on your belly, groveling in the dust as long as you live. And from here in the story, essentially what happened was God told both Adam and Eve, "Okay, you got to go. You can't stay in the garden anymore. From here on out, life's going to be rougher. You're going to struggle just to get food. Eve, you're going to give birth, and it's going to hurt a lot. But you sinned. I can't tolerate sin. Because I'm holy. And because justice needs to be served. If I didn't serve out justice, I wouldn't be a good God." And some people think, wow, I mean, that's kind of harsh. I mean, man, Adam and Eve made, what, one mistake, and boom, that's it? The rest of their lives ruined? You know, it seems like we have this idea in our heads that God is mean. When we do bad things, we seem to blame God for all of our consequences. we face the consequences of our own actions, just like Adam and Eve, and then we're mad at God when it hurts. I mean, we almost want God to just stop being so holy for a second, right? We're like, I mean, God, can't you just let one go every once in a while? But if he did, then he wouldn't be a good God. See, we went to Passion over New Year's, a few of us, and one of the best sermons we heard was preached by a woman named Jackie Hill Perry. She spoke about the holiness of God, and she said this: "To say that God is holy is to say that God is God. Holiness is not an aspect of God. Holy is who he is through and through. His attributes are never at odds with one another, nor do they switch places depending on God's mood. They are him." And she also said, "To want God to withhold justice is to want God to make himself an abomination. To want God to not serve out consequences is to want him not to be just, which means he wouldn't be the God that we know and love, and he wouldn't be a good God." This brings us to our first observation about God's holiness. Point one: God being holy means that God is good, which means God is just. You see, justice has to be carried out for God to be a good God. God cannot sweep our wrongdoings under the rug. They have to be paid for in the end. Otherwise, evil is just okay. Your bill has to be paid by somebody. Justice needs to be carried out. And think of it this way: God wouldn't even be loving if he never gave you any consequences. Proverbs 13:24 says, "Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him." God gives us consequences so that we do not hurt ourselves over and over again. Sin is harmful to us, so God gives us consequences when we sin in an effort to turn us away from it. God loves us so much that he gave us the time to experience the consequences of our sin. And he was a just God through that entire time, and he still is. Ever since man left the Garden of Eden, God had been working on a plan to save us from that sin and to pay our debts for us. He sent Jesus, his son, to pay our debts, to wipe our sins clean and pay the price. Justice was done. Someone paid the price for sin. Now we are free to go because God was good to us. God being holy means that God can only be good. Another quote from Jackie Hill Perry's message says, "God being holy means that God cannot sin. And if God cannot sin, then he cannot sin against me. And if God cannot sin against me, shouldn't that make him the most trustworthy being in the universe?" God's holiness means he can only do good. This means he cannot lie. And if God cannot lie, why are we so hesitant to trust him all the time? Like Eve, we trust the snake over God. We think God is the liar, not the snake. Why do we do that? It makes no sense. We know that other things can lie, and we know God can't. So when the snake tells us that God is lying, it shouldn't be hard to find the real liar of the two. Yet, when God tells us that he will prosper us, we still worry that he won't. I know I do, but I shouldn't. We can trust God because God is holy. God cannot wrong us. Yeah, we can experience pain because of God, because he loves us, and because that's what's best for us. But God will never sin against us. He can't. That's who he is. So when we say that God is holy, we are saying that God is good, reliably good, so good that he can't be bad good. Now that's part of what holy means, but there's more to it as well. There's more to being holy than just being good, because if that's all there was to God's holiness, then he wouldn't be that set apart because of it, now that Jesus has made us clean. now that Jesus has taken away our sins by dying for us and the Holy Spirit lives within us, we are good too. Sin and death no longer permeate our being. We have been made right by God, but God is still set apart from us. God is still holy. He's not far from us, but he's still set apart from us. So there must be more to God's holiness than God simply being good. Point two, God being holy means that God is different. When we are told that God loves us, when we are told that God cares for us and wants what's best for us, this image, all of these things that are being said about God have already been tainted in our minds. We have never seen love like God can give it. The Bible says that God is love. So with our earthly understanding, we cannot properly define who God is. And we cannot properly define love. We cannot properly define love in its purest form because we can't fully understand the one who embodies the concept. But the best we have is that love is wanting the best for someone else at your own expense. And every one of us has been told by someone at some point in their lives, I love you. Our moms and dads tell us they love us. Our siblings tell us they love us. Our boyfriends and our girlfriends tell us that they love us, or our spouses tell us they love us. Our close friends might even tell us that they love us. But in the end, all of the people who have ever told us that they love us can still abandon that love at some point. Our parents can leave. Our friends can be gone from our lives without a single word. Our boyfriends and girlfriends can break up with us and never be heard from again. And even then, the people who stick around can still hurt us. They can sin against us, even if they don't mean to. If I tell you that I love you, I am bound to hurt you at some point. I am not perfect. This is the only kind of love we have ever witnessed on this earth, love that can fade or disappear for a moment. Unreliable love is the kind of love we've seen. Convenient love, thin, fragile love, whatever it is, it's not pure love. So when we hear that God loves us, that God will never forsake us, that he will always do what is best for us, we doubt that. Because people have told us that before, some of them with the best intentions. We've heard that used a lot. People throw around love maybe a lot more than we throw around the word holy. So we wrongly assign the faults of the imperfect love we have experienced onto God's love when things go wrong. Another thing that Jackie Hill Perry told us at Passion is, you may be tempted to believe that God has changed because your circumstances have. But if that were the case, he wouldn't be God. He'd be you. We assume that God's love is just like everyone else's, but that's not the case. God cannot wrong us. God cannot even wrong us unintentionally, because God cannot unintentionally do anything. God can't do anything he doesn't mean to do. There is no oops with God, and there is no wrong with God. God's love is different. God's love has the utmost intentionality behind everything that it does, and it will never change. God is different. Don't make the mistake of thinking that God is like all of the other people who have hurt you. Each and every one of those beings who has hurt you is an imperfect being. People are constantly changing. We are wrong all the time, but God is different. God is perfect. In Isaiah 55, 8 through 9, God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And this verse is a two-way street here. In this verse, God is saying, you are not like me. You can't think like I can. I do things in a different way than you can fathom. God says, you are not like me. But in this verse, God is also saying, I am also not like you. I don't do the same things that you guys do. My ways are higher than your ways. My ways are holy. So you don't have to worry that God is going to be just like everyone else. If you trust in people, you can be let down. But if you trust in God, God is incapable of letting you down. He didn't let Adam and Eve down. He sent them out of the Garden of Eden with a plan to redeem them, to save all of mankind, all of their children, from sin. And God was going to do it by sacrificing something of his own. God is not like the people who have lied to you. God is not like the people who have claimed to love you and then let you down on that promise. God is not like the people who were supposed to be there for you but never were. God is not like anything or anyone you have ever seen before. He's different. And he cannot step down to the kind of love that we give. God is set apart from us. He is holy. He is above. A cut above everything you've ever seen or known. That's what we mean when we say that God is holy. And knowing that God is holy should change everything about our faith. If we truly know that he is holy, we will not waver. When life makes it seem like God is being unfaithful to us, we can quickly determine who the real liar is. When people let us down, we can run to the one who is incapable of letting us down. As the worship leaders return and we sing one last song, take some time to talk to God. Maybe you've had a skewed image of God and his love towards you. Maybe you've let your bad experiences with love from other people affect the way you think about God's love. Ask God to help you move past those hurts that you've experienced in the past. Ask him to show you what love really looks like. And ask him to help you truly love him in return. Would you stand? Lord, I thank you. I thank you because you are holy, Lord. I thank you for being holy enough to give us consequences when we go astray, so that we can learn, Lord. Lord, I thank you that we will have an eternity to keep learning from you in heaven. God, I pray you would keep our eyes on that, on the days that are ahead, on the promised victory that you have given to us. Lord, I pray you would help us to remember that you are holy, and I pray that you would help us let the definition of holiness change our lives when we realize what it means about you, Lord. I thank you for bringing us all here so we could come and fellowship and learn about you and praise you, Lord. Pray that you bring us safely back next week. I thank you for everything you've given us, Lord. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Have a good week, everybody. We'll see you next Saturday night, 7 o'clock.